All right.
Okay, good evening, everyone. My name is Sam Koenig. I have the great honor and pleasure to be on the Education Committee at the Riverdale Minyan. Tonight, we have an excellent shiur, and it's part of the larger program that we're doing during the month of Elul. So I encourage you all to go on our website and to get more details for the rest of the programming. The classes, it's on our website. Please look at it. I believe there are two more. Very exciting. Also, before we start, if you feel comfortable, please feel free to turn on your video. It's always very special, especially in times like these, to see each other. But don't feel the pressure. Just wanted to share a disclaimer. So we have the great pleasure to have with us today Rabbi Dr. Shlomo Zuckia. And I'm, of course, biased, because he's doing his post-doctoral fellowship at my alma mater in Jewish studies at McGill University. And I was also part of the Jewish studies, of course, undergraduate, so very different, but I'm very proud, and it's such a great honor to introduce a fellow McGillian. Okay, so Dr. Shlomo Zuckia, aside from being now at McGill University in Montreal, is an alumna of Yeshivat Har Tzion, and received his... Smicha from Reitz. In addition, he was also at Kol Elyon. He received his PhD in ancient Judaism from Yale University. And while he was there, he was also doing very holy work, which is he was working with university students through OUGLIC at Yale. And I know myself what kind of impact this is having as a former Hillel director. So again, beautiful work, very important opportunity to infuse Yiddishkeit to college students. Rabbi Dr. Zuckia has also received the Wexler and the Tikva Fellowship, and he taught at the Yale Divinity School and also at Yeshiva University, at Jisha Institute, at Tikva Fund, and Benot Sinai, and is currently a research fellow and Gemara Education Group coordinator at Machon Siach. Lastly, Rabbi Dr. Zuckia is the founder of the Leah House and serves on the editorial committee of Tradition and has edited two books on contemporary Jewish thought. This evening's shiur is entitled Last Year's Tshuva, Dog Determination or Dog's Dinner. It's a profound pleasure to have you with us tonight. And Rabbi Zuckia, the screen is yours.
Thank you very much, Sam, and it's always good to hear someone pronounce the Lair House as it was meant to be pronounced with the proper European pronunciation. So thank you. So today we're gonna talk about a particular topic in tshuva, specifically the question of doing tshuva on averos, on different things that someone already did tshuva on previously. So last year's tshuva, I called it. You know, you did your tshuva last year on whatever averos there were, and you didn't do them again this year. You stayed clean. You stayed away from those averos. What do we think? What's the proper approach in terms of going back, revisiting those actions from previous years, and doing tshuva again? And as we're going to see, there's a dispute about this in the Gemara, in the Rishonim, in the Poskim, and we're going to try to understand the different sides of the debate, and hopefully that will inform our tshuva. Our tshuva process as well. So I guess I'll share the screen. And if there's a possibility of sharing the file, I do that too. I don't know if that's possible on the setup here, but we certainly can share the screen. So hopefully everyone sees the handout now. And the basic sugya that we're going to talk about appears first in the Tosefta of Maseches Yoma all the way at the end, and it appears in the Yerushalmi as well. We're going to focus on the version of this teaching that appears in the Bavli. It's very similar. There's a couple of differences we may point to, but this question comes up in the Bavli. And let's jump in and read the Gemara, and hopefully there'll be a participation. Everyone will be welcome to share their thoughts. We'll start with the Gemara, and then we'll try to think about what's going on here. So Tanu Rabbanan, the rabbis learned, Averos sheizvada alein Yom HaKippurim zeh, lo yisvada alein Yom HaKippurim acher. An avera for which you did vidui, you said vidui on, you basically did tshuva on, including vidui, this year, you shouldn't say vidui on next year. Or by the same token, averos, you did tshuva for last year, you should not do tshuva on this year. Ve'im im shana bahen, if you repeated them, meaning if you actually continued to do the avera after having done tshuva, in that case, tzarech leisvados, then tzarech leisvados yom kippur machir. Right? Obviously, if you do tshuva, but then you go back to your to doing the avera again, right? Let's say what's a good example? Eating pork is a good classic example. Someone ate pork, they did tshuva for it last yom kippur, and then they regress. They go back to eating pork again. Obviously, you need to do tshuva. But what if you didn't? Regress, right? You ate pork in years prior. You did tshuva for that. You stayed away from pork. What do you do now? Should you do tshuva or not? And the Gemara says, if you do tshuva a second time on that avera, alava kasav omer kekelev shav alkeo ksil shone beivalto. Very powerful line, quoting a pasuk in Mishle, we'll look at it in more detail in a second. Like a dog returning to its vomit is a fool who repeats his foolishness. So doing tshuva a second time, you might have thought, what could be wrong? Okay, maybe it's not necessary, but it can't possibly be bad. The Gemara here, this first opinion, says it's like a dog returning to its vomit. It's a fool returning to his foolishness. Very powerful language. We're going to try to figure out the basis of this position, and this may give you a sense a little bit of the title of the shir, a reference to that line. Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov Omer, an alternate position from Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, kol shekein shehu meshubach. No, this person is not only not doing a bad thing, they're actually doing something very praiseworthy. Shenemar, kif sha'aya nieda, v'chatasi negdi tamid, pasuk in Tehillim, for I shall know my sins, and my violations will be before me always. The idea being, I did the avera in the past, I did tshuva on it, and yet, chatasi negdi tamid, my sin should always remain in front of me. I'm always looking at that avera that I did, and still doing tshuva on it, even after having previously done tshuva. So those are the two opinions, and now the Gemara, as it often does, tries to tie up the loose ends, right? Each opinion has a proof text, so what does each opinion do with the other side's proof text? Mani mekayim, elamani mekayim, kelev shavel keo. According to the opinion that you actually should do tshuva for previous years of averos, what do we do with this pasuk? What's this pasuk about a dog returning to its vomit is a fool who repeats his foolishness? What's that referring to? Kidder avhuna, the amar avhuna, kevan she'avar adam avera, bishana ba, putralo. So Ravuna says, a person who does an avera and then repeats it, it becomes permitted. Putralo, what do you mean it becomes, putralo salkadaita, what do you mean it becomes permitted? El ema nasis lo keheter. It becomes for him as if it's permitted, meaning the aversion, the natural rejection one would have to doing an avera, or the built-in rejection to the avera is lost, and it becomes psychologically like something permitted. So what that pasuk is referring to, it's saying, if a person repeats an avera, that's like a dog returning to its vomit. The different mefarshim explain, a dog only returns to his vomit if he doesn't think the vomit is disgusting. And by a similar token, a person who repeats an avera loses that sense of revulsion at the avera, and that's what the pasuk's talking about. It's not talking about our scenario of doing tshuva a second time or saying vidui a second time on a previous avera. It's talking about doing an avera multiple times, including after having done tshuva previously. So that's the loose end. We may get back to that a bit. But I think the core point here is we have these two views. We have the Tanna Kamma, the first view that if you do tshuva a second time, if you do tshuva on an avera you'd previously done tshuva for and had not regressed, that is a terrible thing. That's like a dog returning to its vomit on the one hand. On the other hand, we have Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov's position saying, no, it's actually very good. You should always keep your sin in front of you and go back and revisit those previous averos and do tshuva on them again. So with this machlokes set up, let's open it up. I don't know if people have thoughts, either which side, what seems more intuitive to them, what makes more sense to them, or what they think is at stake here, what's being debated by these two sides. So any everyone's welcome to jump in with sound. Even if you want to share your video, that would be nice too. But faceless voices also work. What do people think? Well, what seems more reasonable? What seems more plausible? We can even do a poll. I don't know. You can have a vote. Drop in the chat if you think one way or the other. You know, repeating tshuva is good. Repeating tshuva is bad. We have people willing to take one side or the other.
I will go with repeating tshuva. It's Josh Wald speaking. Shalom. Thank you, Rabbi Zakir. I would go with repeating tshuva. It's got to be a good thing. Right. I mean, I don't want to oversimplify. I'm sure you got a good angle on it. But I would go with repeating. It's got to be good.
Got to be good. What could be wrong, right? More tshuva can only be a good thing. Okay. Do we have anyone who wants to take the other side? You know, whichever side you take, you're following one of the opinions. Like, all right, you can't really go wrong. Do we have anyone? To take up the other position.
Maybe it's too negative. Maybe it's like you know what I'm saying? It's like too pessimistic to focus on constantly focusing on the past and reminding yourself of your chatam. You move on. Maybe that's the other side.
Okay. So I think definitely one approach, maybe even the main approach as to why there's a negative here is this question of moving on. And really, we could frame this one way of doing this, looking at this, is like the question of guilt. Like, is guilt a good thing or is guilt a bad thing? And I mean, the answer is obviously there's aspects of both. But, you know, guilt can paralyze you. If you're always thinking, oh, I did this previously, I need to do tshuva again, I still haven't really fixed it. Right? Do you ever move forward? Can you ever face the future if you're always stewing in the sins of years past that you've already done tshuva on? On the other hand, maybe some guilt is actually a good thing because it helps you know what the target is. You're remembering what you did wrong and how you might avoid, if not that particular pitfall, then similar pitfalls. So that could certainly be, you know, sort of big picture, you know, views on guilt, and guilt, not just in the psychological sense. Here there was actual, you know, guilt in the sense of having done an Aveira and then having done tshuva for it. One way of looking at this is how to look at that, right? Do you want to dwell on the past? Is that a smart thing to do psychologically, religiously? Is that a pragmatic thing? Or, you know, and maybe you should want to do that, or maybe you shouldn't want to do that. So that's one way of thinking about it. I think we can, if we want to be like a little more, like there's really a few different ways of breaking down what this dispute is about. One way of thinking about it is that actually, you never really do full tshuva on averos, even in the past, or at least in some cases, right? Maybe even if you did tshuva last year, you did everything right. So on the one hand, yes, like you did everything you could, but at the same time, maybe there's still a little bit of that avera left that you still need to get rid of. And maybe that's the question here, right? Maybe the dispute here is whether previous averos that one did, you know, did said vidui on, did tshuva on, do they remain? Is there still a little bit of avera residue there, or are they totally clean? That may be an approach. We'll see. The minchas chinuch may go in that direction. On the other hand, the other approach, you know, another way of looking at it, I think more along the lines of what Rabbi Wald was saying, is that no, you did. Everyone agrees that you successfully, you know, did the tshuva previously. You achieved kapara. You achieved atonement. You're in good shape from that sense. But this is just a question of whether it's advisable to do tshuva on the past again, to keep dwelling on it. Is that a good thing or is that a bad thing? And, or is it neutral, right? So there's really two different questions there. One is there some positive element in place, or is there a yes or no? And is there a negative element in place, right? Or maybe it's just neutral. So I think that's sort of the framework of different ways of analyzing this question. Right, again, did you really achieve atonement in the past? And if you did, that might be the question. And the other question might be, if you did, is dwelling on the past advisable? Is it positive? Is it negative? Or is it indifferent? Now, if we look at Rashi, source number 4, I'll reshare the screen. Rashi in source number 4 says, I don't think that you actually atoned for me, right? I'm still dwelling on avarice of the past because I don't think, God, that you actually gave me atonement. My sin is staring in the face because I don't actually think it's atoned for. It's still staring me in the face. So I think Rashi can really be pulled in the two directions that we said, right? It could be ki'ilu hunegdi. Does that mean that at some level it really is there? The sin does still exist, has not been fully resolved? Or is it no, ki'ilu, it's as if. This is like, it's about your mindset. It's not about the avera itself not being resolved. It's about your mindset and the way that you would approach it. Okay, let's jump now. We saw the machlokas in the Gemara. Let's see how later sources take this question. How do they paskin? How do they resolve this? What do we hold practically? If we want to think a little practically about this, it's not the most on the ground question, but it's relevant to how our tshuva looks and what do we take into account. So what do we have? The source number 6, the Meiri, in the Beis Avichira, he says, Averu sheyisvad aleihem yom kippurim zeh, lo yisvad aleihem yom kippurim acher. He says pretty clearly that you shouldn't say vidu, you shouldn't do tshuva on previous years averus that you already did tshuva for. Umikol makom imasakein in kveda b'kach. But if you do, it's not really so bad. And if Arik Siv keep Ifshaya and the Adav Khatasinak di Samid, he quotes the Pasuk on the other side. So the Meiri sort of tries to have his tshuva and eat it too, if we want to keep that metaphor of the dog going. You really shouldn't, but if you do, it's not so bad. And he's sort of a little bit on both sides, but if you had to put him in a category, you might say he's indifferent. He doesn't have a strong psak. In a similar vein, sources 7 and 8, the Rif and the Rush, who have legal codes based on the Gemara, they bring down both opinions, and they don't say make any clear statement as to who they paskin like. So it's really unclear, just from reading the Rif and the Rush, who they would go like. Similar to the Meiri has a bit of both. So do the Rif and the Rush. Not exactly clear how to paskin. The Rambam, on the other hand, has a very clear view on this. Havidui shenagu v'kol Yisrael aval anachnu chatanu. We'll recognize this line if we add in the word vavosenu, aval anachnu vavosenu chatanu from our vidui, a slight variation from the Rambam, and that's the kulanu, alternate girsa, who ikar avidui. That's the main part of vidui. The Rambam then says, averos sheisvad aleihem b'yom kippurim zeh, choser misvad aleihem b'yom kippurim acher. Things you did tshuva for, averos you did tshuva for this year, you should go back and do them again next year. And similarly, averos you did last year, you should do again this year. Afal pishu omei b'tshuvaso, even though you've maintained your tshuva, you still should go and do tshuva again. Shenemar ki yifshaya ani edav v'chadasin egdi tamid. The Rambam takes a clear stance. He paskins that you should revisit previous averos that you've done tshuva for and do tshuva again. And there's a whole discussion in the commentaries on the Rambam. They say, why does the Rambam paskin like that? And maybe it's based on the Klalei Pesach, on the rules of Pesach, because the person who said this was Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, and he very often wins in a machlokes. So maybe there's some technical reason. Alternatively, you might say there's a philosophical reason. The Rambam is really a champion of tshuva within the kapara process, within the broader process of atonement. We take this for granted because the Rambam was so powerful. But the Gemara discusses different aspects of kapara. What grants you atonement? There's a view that it's really things like Yom Kippur, the day of Yom Kippur itself grants us atonement, or tshuva, or some combination. There's a whole other shiur to give on that topic. The Rambam is very clearly on team tshuva. He gives a lot of extra weight to tshuva. If you look at the beginning of Perek Aleph of Hilchos Tshuva, the Rambam is clearly there. I think we've all internalized this, but that would fit, that would fit with this view. The Rambam is very pro tshuva. And just because you did it before doesn't mean you should assume you should be complacent. There's always more room for self-improvement. So that's the Rambam. The Tur, the next great halachic code. So he brings down a couple of disputing positions. Avonos sheisvad aleihem b'yom kippurim she'avar lo shana aleihem, kasav haritz geis she'ein leisvados aleihem. So the Ritz geis says you shouldn't go back. And then he's skipping ahead, the Adoni Avizal and my father, the Rush, kasav she'yachol leisvados aleihem, afa bishal lo shana aleihem. You can go back and do tshuva, even though you didn't repeat the Avera. it's not clear, the Beis Yosef points out, it's not clear where the Rush actually said that, but the Torah comes out fairly clearly that one, it sounds like one can go back and do tshuva, and the Shulchan Aruch himself says similarly, Avona, source number 12 here, Avona Shesvadalein B'yom Kippurim She'avar V'lo Shinalein, Afil Achi Yachol Lachzor U'Hesvados Alein. One can go back and do tshuva on averos of previous years. Now, what's interesting about this formulation of the Torah and the Shulchan Aruch? Someone notice something a little different from, are they just quoting that opinion in the Gemara, or did they change something? So if you look closely, both the Torah and the Shulchan Aruch say this word yachol, right? Whereas in the Gemara we saw, there's a view that you absolutely should not go back and do tshuva, and there's another view that it's a great thing, you really should go back and do tshuva, and the Shulchan Aruch and the Torah, following the Torah, says yachol, you can. And as the Prima Gadim points out, efshar derech psharahu, this is like a compromise view. You can go back, you don't really have to go back. It's an option, right? We believe in a little optionality here in this case. So in terms of psak, the sort of mixed evidence, we saw some poskim come out anti, some poskim come out pro, and some say, sort of give present both sides or say a watered down version. It seems like the Derech HaMelech, at the end of the day, the primary view is what we have in Shulchan Aruch, which is one can, doesn't say one has to, not as strong as the Rambam, but one can consider previous years averos in their tshuva of this year. But we haven't fully worked out the exact details of this position. We haven't fully understood it. So I think it's worth taking a look at a few more sources to get a better appreciation. First, let's jump down to source 17 here, the Pasuk in Mishlei. Right, like a dog returning to its vomit, so is a fool returning or repeating his foolishness. So what's interesting is there's really a few different views as to what's so bad about the dog returning to the vomit. Now, obviously, it's really bad. But what aspect, what's the dog missing there? And figuring that out might help us understand what's missing when we return to our tshuva, according to the views that one shouldn't repeat tshuva on an avera that one has since ceased doing. So the Ibn Ezra says, "Achar shiakienu yashuv yochlenu," right after vomiting, you eat it again. Kenaksil shone pam shenis lasos iveles below yisbayish. He does all this. He repeats the disgusting thing, and he's not embarrassed. So the key here sounds like it's embarrassment, it's shame, that whether or not the dog likes the vomit, what's so problematic is he's not embarrassed in front of other people. It should be, you should be ashamed doing that if you know that culturally it's not acceptable to do it, and the dog has no care in the world, isn't embarrassed. So that's one emphasis. It's a lack of shame. The Mesudas David has a different point. He says that, right, the dog goes back and eats the food if vomited, below yavin ki bavur roa hamachal ka oso. There's a reason why he vomited. He vomited because it was bad food, right? Not good food. That's why he vomited it. And the dog doesn't realize. The issue is not lack of shame. The issue is lack of understanding. He doesn't realize that what he's doing is actually wrong. And that's the problem here. The problem of returning to one's the dog returning to his vomit, or a person returning to his folly, is that he doesn't get what he actually did wrong in the first place, and that's why he's going back. And the Malbim has a slightly different formulation. He says, "Hagam shehu ba'atzma yodea shehu davar nimas." He himself, the dog, knows that doing this is disgusting. Still, he's unable to control himself. The cholzos yeshana esha iveles pamshenis. Right, the dog can't control himself. It's a lack of self-control. That despite the fact that he knows that it's wrong, he still keeps going back and doing it, doing the avera again. So we have three different emphases here as to what the dog's doing wrong. Is it a lack of shame? Is it a lack of understanding? Or is it a lack of self-control? Oh, I guess. Well, do people have any thoughts? What do people think in terms of relating that back to our question of tshuva, the different cases of either doing tshuva, right? The Gemara used this pasuk for two different things, either for doing tshuva a second time on an avera done previously, or doing an avera, doing tshuva, and then returning to do the avera once again. So do either of those scenarios, of those two scenarios, what do they match on the different explanations of the dog, you know, what the dog is doing wrong, and how so? What seems the most compelling in terms of matching those up?
Well, I think it has to do with perhaps, you know, the first option that you presented of not trying to sin again, right? In other words, not doing tshuva and acknowledging your mistakes. No, I'm saying, is that what you're looking for?
I wasn't sure I caught that. You're saying on the approach, on the interpretation of this pasuk is talking about a person who does an avera, does tshuva, and goes back to the avera. You're saying that can fit some of these cases?
I mean, that's what certainly they seem to be implying, I think, right?
Right. Yeah. So I think, you know, pshat in the pasuk, the straightforward reading of the pasuk, sil shonebi ivalto, a fool repeating his foolishness, sounds like that actually fits a lot better with doing the avera a second time, right? And that's one of the interpretations of the Gemara, and that really can fit with any of these. There may be an issue of lack of shame, it may be an issue of lack of understanding, it may be a lack of self-control. All of those seem to work well. But what about the other reading, the one that comes up, right, you know, what we saw right at the beginning of this year, in the beginning, relatively early in the Gemara, that doing tshuva a second time is kikelev ashav al keh, it was like a dog returning to his vomit. So which, if any, of these interpretations fit that understanding or that application of the pasuk? So, you know, it's possible to make the argument that, and I think I've seen Rav Huttner quoted as going in this direction, that, you know, it's not just an issue of dwelling on the past being, you know, sort of a bad psychological habit, you know, or guilt being ineffective or something like that. The more one dwells on previous sins, the more one gets comfortable with them, in a sense, right? So just like the dog, you know, there's some dogs that just don't get the idea that vomit, you know, there's a reason why you vomited it. It's because it's bad for you and it should never have been inside you in the first place. And now you're returning to it. You just didn't understand the whole point. And a person who's returning to their avera, even if they're doing it to do tshuva, they want to fix their avera again, but they already fixed it. They're sort of not understanding on this view that the avera was taken care of and it's done. The fact that they keep coming back, it means at some level, they haven't fully moved on. They haven't fully actually done tshuva. The fact that you're coming back to do tshuva again sort of undermines or indicates that your previous tshuva was never really there in the first place. And I think that's why this somewhat off-color metaphor of the vomiting actually makes sense. And there's really two different ways of understanding the metaphor. We didn't read this inside. Source 5, the Maharsha, had said that the avera is vomiting, right? Which makes sense because vomiting is disgusting. And, you know, the Maharsha would say an avera is disgusting. And that's why the avera is the vomiting. But what Rav Huttner would say on this, again, I think what fits very nicely is that no, doing the avera is eating the food, right? The bad food, the poisoned food. That's doing the avera. You vomit it out. That's actually doing tshuva, saying vidui. You move away, you reject the poisoned avera. Now, in a good case, according to this view, you move away from it. You never think about that vomit again, and it goes away. It's gone. If you come back to the vomit and you start thinking about eating it again, even if you're, you know, as you're saying, oh, I'm going to do tshuva again, you know, if the whole point of tshuva was getting rid of it, the fact that you're returning to it means that you actually didn't do tshuva the first time, and you're not really understanding the need to distance yourself from the avera. So that's the perspective that Rav Huttner has on this sugya, really a fascinating idea as to why it might actually be bad to do tshuva a second time. And again, it fits with some interpretations of what the dog doesn't understand more than others, right? It seems to be not about a lack of self-control, really. It's not about a lack of shame. Most probably, it seems like it's a lack of understanding that what the dog was doing was wrong. The fact that it keeps coming back, even to do tshuva again, shows that something's missing. So much for the view that you shouldn't go back and do tshuva. But as was mentioned, the main view, what the Shulchan Aruch seems very much on board with, is that one at least can, and maybe according to the Rambam, one should go back and do tshuva. So what might be the reason for that? How might we understand that idea of going back and doing tshuva? And we mentioned a couple of ideas before. Let's flesh them out a bit more now. So back to the shared screen.
Can I ask you a question? Please. Where is that? That is a beautiful Rav Hutner. Can you share that with us, where that is? Do you have that on there?
I don't have the reference offhand. I actually discussed some of these issues. I had a chavrusa with Rabbi Carmi a couple years ago. We worked through some of these issues. And unfortunately, I don't have Rav Hutner on my shelf here. And I don't have, it's a little tough to access things these days. But
okay, I'll email you separately.
When I have access again, I would have loved to find it. I tried Googling it. I actually found Pachad Yitzchak quoting this Gemara, but it was the other Pachad Yitzchak, the encyclopedia. You win some, you lose some. But it is a very powerful idea.
Is it possible that he understands tshuva but doesn't understand kapara and mechila?
Interesting. So maybe he doesn't understand the idea of mechila. Right, that could work too. It wouldn't fit as well with the vomiting metaphor, but it could be if you don't actually appreciate the idea of kapara, that might explain the problem of you keep coming back. Interesting idea. Just for reasons of time, I wanna get to these last three sources quickly, and we'll take some questions at the end. If that's the reason why you shouldn't go back and do your tshuva again, what are the reasons why you should go back? So we mentioned before, one possible reason is that you never fully achieved kapara in the first place. So the suggestion that was just made, maybe your mistake was you didn't think you got tshuva, you got full kapara in the first place. Maybe you're actually right. Maybe in some cases, you did the tshuva, you did all the things, you still don't get full kapara. So the Minchas Chinuch, source 14, has a suggestion that that's the sort of case we're talking about. Ala bedati, I had this idea, the Efshar Lomar, after Rav Ben Yaakov Sover, the Tzarchlis Vados, etc., etc. Hainu, what is that talking about? But Osan Averos, She'ein Tshuva V'Yom Kippur Mechaper, Kapara Gemura. The Gemara, actually, a couple of daf earlier in Yoma, says there's three Averos, not the big three we usually think of, a different big three, Loi Gal Chavero, and making fun of the Torah, and undoing the bris. Those are three big Averos that, with all the things, Yom Kippur and Tshuva combined, can't fix that Avera. Or maybe it's some other averos. You need to wait for an aver with kares. Chamuros the tolev yisurin omisa memarkin. So different averos that you actually don't get kapara right away just with tshuva and yom kippur. Imkain adayin hachet lo niskaper legamre. Tzarech shi'ele neged enav. In that case, you still have the avera. It's staring you in the face because it never was gotten rid of. It never was resolved. So in such a case, you should keep going back and doing tshuva according to Rav Ben Yaakov. Then he backs off of it, but he basically says maybe everyone agrees that smaller averos, where you actually do get kapara between tshuva and yom kippur, everyone agrees you don't go back because the avera is taken care of. The only reason you would ever go back is if your avera is still there. If the avera is done. So what's the upside in going back? So maybe our whole sugya is only talking about like large scale averos that you can't get rid of quickly. A very interesting idea. And this is on the view that the only reason to go back is because you didn't actually get kapara in the first place. But the two other views have other perspectives. The Michta of Meliyahu, Rav Eliyahu Dessler, suggests, he says, Misha chalav v'nisrape, gamkin tzarech lachshosh, shem adayin kayamim bo chidkei acholi. Person who's sick and gets better, okay, they're better, but there's extra reason to be careful around a certain disease. And maybe that's what's going on here. You did tshuva. You still should go back and do tshuva again. Why? Be instinct. or you need to keep having that instinct. You need to keep rebuilding that idea of tshuva. The Menateka says, "Rish me'achet hanish arim behoveh," that detaches those leftover pieces, those leftover morsels of sin that remain. And he doesn't mean like metaphysical sin, I think. Not that like there's no full kapara. There is a full kapara. You are better. The doctor gave you a clean bill of health. And yet, psychologically, you know, your patterns, the way you function, is such that you're actually, you're at greater risk for doing this avera again. And that's why you need to go back, not because the avera is still there, but because your nitiyot, your personal inclination is still there. You need to fix, you need to work extra hard to prevent yourself from going back to doing that avera. So a very interesting idea for the Michme Eliyahu, not just it's always good to do tshuva again, how could that be bad, but specifically that someone who did this avera in the past, even if they did tshuva, they're going to need that extra reinforcement going forward. And finally, Likutei Sichos, the Lubavitcher Rebbe, has a different idea. He suggests, Yeshno Chiluk Ikari Ben Tshuva the Kol HaShana LeTshuva Yom Kippurim. Tshuva and Yom Kippur is different than tshuva the rest of the year. Usually, tshuva is on the avera, and once you take care of the avera, you're done, and you don't need any more tshuva. But in our case, HaTshuva Eino Toli Ba'adam Im Chata Olo, El Sheyachas LeKulam. By Yom Kippur, everyone does tshuva. There's a communal aspect to tshuva that's not actually dependent on having done an avera. Not only that, Begami Ma'adam Lo Chata, etc. Even if you didn't do any averos this year at all, you still should go back and do the previous year's averos. But why is that? Yom Kippur is a chance to ascend to a higher level. When you ascend to a higher level, all the previous averos that you thought you'd taken care of, you'd only taken care of relative to your lower level. You've now raised yourself a level. You need to, compensate. You need to cover all those averos with a higher level of precision. So a very interesting idea from the Lubavitcher Rebbe that going back and doing tshuva, it's not that you didn't get kapara, you got kapara. And it's not just that it's good to go back and do more tshuva. It's that you now are on a higher level because it's Yom Kippur. And that's interesting that he's focusing on that, right? That's what I'm talking about last year, this year. That's why it comes up in the Gemara Yoma. It's a Yom Kippur specific rule that you should always, on Yom Kippur, aspire for loftier spiritual heights, and that's why you need to go back and cleanse those previous averos, even though you cleaned them already, but now you need to clean them on a higher level. So just to quickly summarize, we had this machlokas, should one go back and revisit and do tshuva again on averos that one had already done tshuva on previously? We had two main views. You should, you shouldn't, and we had a bunch of views somewhere in the middle, you know, sort of a little bit of this, a little bit of that. You shouldn't, but it's not so bad. Yachol, you can. Sounds like the main view is you can and maybe should. And we looked at the reasons for both. The reasons not to might include, you know, it's just unhealthy to dwell on it. That sense of guilt is unhealthy. Or maybe Rav Huttner's idea that you keep coming back to the Aver, you haven't actually left it. You haven't actually had it leave your system like the dog. On the other hand, some reasons to go back and do that tshuva again could just be tshuva is always good, why not? Or maybe a little bit of guilt actually is helpful. Keeping in mind things you've done wrong in the past can actually be helpful. Or these last three views we saw of the Menchas Chinuch, that for certain averos, maybe you never actually resolved them in the first place. And it's obviously you should keep doing tshuva on them because you never got rid of them. Or the myth of Me'eliyahu, that it's not that you need to do tshuva again. It's that you personally are more susceptible to these averos and you need to reinforce that. Or the Lubavitcher Rebbe, Yom Kippur, puts us on a higher spiritual level, and we need to always do everything we can to do tshuva from that higher level, from that higher vantage point. So I'm happy to take questions now, but I think we're around time, so everyone's also free to leave.
Rabbi Zephyr?
Yes.
My name is Avram Hyman, and I received an injunction from my grandsons, Simeon and Josh Botwinnick, to tune you in tonight, and I'm very happy that I did. It proves that grandparents should listen to their grandchildren.
I'll say I'm a big fan of both Simeon and Josh, so you can please send them my regards.
I surely will.
Rabbi Zuckier, can I ask one question?
Sure.
It's interesting. First of all, that was beautiful. I loved it. Thank you very much. That was great. My question is, No one seems to, at least the thoughts that you shared, suggest that sin is a permanent stain, you know, in terms of, you know, that it stays with you. Did you see any sources that suggest that there is no, like, once you sin, there's, you know, a stain forever, and that's why you could keep going back to tshuva? And as much as that's a depressing thought, I'm just curious if you saw that anywhere in Judaism, or that's not a Jewish concept.
Well, I mean, the closest thing we saw to that, and this, if we saw to that in this sugya,
Lubavitcher Rebbe, right?
Interesting. I guess you could look at it that way. I mean, you could look at the Lubavitcher Rebbe, like the tshuva on a higher level. Is that like a super thing that's like extra right. points, or is the avera still there? I was thinking the Minchas Shechina, where he says that some averos stick around for a while. I think the to your question, probably the better, the more the source that's closer to discussing this is the Gemara on Daf Pei Hey Amud Beis. I mean, I'll put this in the chat in a second. There's a whole we give many shirim on this Gemara that I just put in the chat. But the basic idea there is it, and there's a longer version of it too. There's the Arba Chilukei Kapara on the next Amud, but it goes through different categories of tshuva and what's necessary for them. Some between Yom Kippur and right. tshuva will get you there. Some you may need death. You may need other things. Yeah, I think this Gemara is one piece of it. The Arba Chilukei Kapara on the next Amud is other piece. I'll drop that in the chat too. But it sounds like from these two Gemaras that there's always a way. It may include everything. It may include doing tshuva, passing through Yom Kippur, suffering, death. Maybe it'll take you until then, ad timusun, but there's always a kapara at some point. That's what it sounds like from the Gemara. Now, what's fascinating is the pasuk the Gemara uses there. It's like im yiskaper ha'ovon hazeh ad timusun, or something like that. Like there's like a shvua. You know, this sin will never be atoned for until you die. And in pshat, that means it will never be atoned for, right? It's really, really bad. There's no way of fixing it. Even when you die, you won't fix it. Because I'll say, ad timusun, until you die. Okay, so when you die, that resolves the sin. That's kapara. So I think the way Chazal interpreted the Pesukim, they're absolutely committed to there being a kapara. Even things like a Chilul Hashem, what's the key line here? Mishi yesh Chilul Hashem biyado. Someone who does a Chilul Hashem, ein lo koch b'tshuva listos v'lo b'yom kippur l'chaper v'lo b'yisur l'marik ela kulan tolin u'misa mimarekes. Even a Chilul Hashem, the worst thing you can do, the last few lines of the second thing I put there, you know, there's always a way out. But between the four kaparos together, you're good at the end. So it's really a fascinating idea that there's always a chance at redemption, at least one way. I think you could complicate it a bit. You could say, what about if you do an aver against a fellow person and they're not mochel you? So like, you know, maybe that blocks it. You could come up with creative ideas, but at least in the standard case, Chazal seemed very much on board with saying there's always kapara.
Right. Thank you.
Are there any more questions? Rabbi Zuki, would you like to add anything before we conclude? Any closing remarks or anything?
Only that I hope we use this chance and other chances to think about tshuva, about vidui, about kapara to enhance our own next few weeks coming up towards the Yamim Noraim, and this year, maybe more than other years for many of us, is the introspection and the personal side is even more important given the challenges in accessing the public side of Yamim Noraim. So everyone should be zoche for a very successful Yamim Noraim, Elo Yamim Noraim, Tshuva and Kapara period.
Rabbi Zuki, thank you so much. And again, thank you so much for giving us the opportunity to hear some Torah directly from you. It has been a great honor. And we're so blessed that you're part of our kehilah. So thank you so much again for making us part of your extended family. On that note, I want to thank each of you as well for participating tonight. And we encourage you all to participating in the next two shurim. Again, please look at our website for more details. And on that note, wishing Rabbi and everybody else Agit Geben Shtur and Agimach Hasima Toiv. Again, thank you so much, and see you next week. All the best. Thank you, Rabbi, again.
Thank you, Sam. Thank you, everyone.
Yashikov.
Shalom.
Thank you very much. Good night, everybody.